Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara, at the upper part of Daf Ayin Dal, 4 lines from the top, we see a geometric form, a trapezoid, or sometimes referred to as a volcano shape, and in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a little trapezoid, number 1, and underneath there's a note that number 2 is found on Amud Beis. To appreciate what we are going to do, let us take a look at the outside margin. We have a title to the sugya called Nosei Kloli, a general topic heading, and we've written in Taruvus Shel Isur Beheter, a mixture of some Isur that fell into a majority of Heter, a majority of that which is allowed. Once again, a small amount or a minority quantity of prohibited substance fell into a majority quantity of allowed. V'acharkach nifrad chalokim mitaravazu. Then after you have that mixture, a section or pieces or elements from the mixture then fell into another place, creating a new mixture. Mivneh, we have a structural note. These little trapezoids are lekasher Rav Nachman im Reish Lakish Bomid Beis, to create a connection between Rav Nachman's comment over here and Reish Lakish that you will see at the upper part of Amud Beis. In fact, when we get to Amud Beis, the Gemara will point out that I need the teachings of both Rav Nachman and Reish Lakish. And the Gemara explains what I would have thought had I not had both of these teachings. In addition to the trapezoid, we also have a diamond and a double underline that we want to discuss. So in our under our Mivne heading, you see a diamond shape and a double underline. The diamond goes around the word tabas, and you'll see that again a little bit later on the Omid. And the double underline says Shel Avodah Zorah, or Shel Avodah Kochavim. Mikrim shel taruvas shel tabas avudazor b'tabois shel heter. We'll see different cases where rings that are associated with idols mix in with rings that are allowed. Turning now to the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Barav, Omar Rav. Tabas shel avudaz kechovim, an idolatrous ring, a decoration of an idol. She nisarvo b'meo tabos. It got mixed up with 100 permissible rings. V'nofla achas mehem liyam agodol. And one of these rings from this mixture fell into the sea. Hutru kulon. The entire mixture is allowed. The amrinon, we say, we explain. Hach denofal, the one that fell into the sea, hainu de isura. That was the forbidden one. And since the forbidden one is no longer part of this collection of rings, we can say that the rings are allowed. Esve Rava the Rav Nachman. Rava raises an objection to Rav Nachman, and this is a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's marked off with a frame. It's framed off, as we do all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system, to set the Tanaic literature apart from the Gemara. It says, Afilu achas beriboy yamusu kulan. Now, this quote comes from the Mishnah that you find on Daf Ayin Amud Beis, where chatos hamesos, one of the types of sin offerings that is forbidden to be used, that's destined to die, or a shor haniskal, got mixed up with 10,000 proper kosher sacrifices. The Mishnah there rules they must all die. Amai, Why do you say they must all die? Nemo hach demis. Why not say that after one dies, the isura miss? That was the usur one. That was the forbidden one. So you see from the Mishnah on at the beginning of the parak on daf ayin omid beis that we don't say that the one that is lost was the forbidden one. Omale, Rav Nachman answers. Rav di Omar Karebi Eliezer. Rav, who presented this lenient ruling, is going like Rebbe Eliezer. Disnan, we have the source in which you find Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, im korav harosh shel echod mehem, yikrvu kol harosh in kulan. This source we saw at the very top of this omid. This was a case where the limbs of a blemished animal, a balmum, got mixed up with the limbs of kosher sacrifices. Rabbi Eliezer says that if one of the animal heads was tossed into the fire, then you can offer the rest of them. And that is based on this idea that the one that was tossed into the fire, that was the forbidden one. The Gemara asks, Vaho Omar Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, the Amora, Rabbi Eliezer says, Lo hiti Rabbi Eliezer, elo shnayim shnayim. Rabbi Eliezer says that leniency is true only if you're talking about units of two. Avol echod echod lo, but in units of one, he's not lenient. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Veho Omar Rabbi Eliezer. Lekamon bepirkin. Later in this parak, the lohiter Rabbi Eliezer, lahakiv esenosorim, Rabbi Eliezer, who said that if one of the heads was offered, then you can continue offering the other sacrifice heads. Elo shnayim shnayim. That's when each time you toss into the fire after the one head was already burnt, you're tossing into the fire. You're offering two heads, two each time. If you're doing two each time, bearing in mind that there was only one problematic head that got mixed into the sacrifice heads, when you're throwing two each time into the fire, devadai chad minayu dehetero, one of the two is definitely allowed. Sharei lo nisarev bohem elo baal mum echad, as we just explained, that in the original mixture, only one baal mum, only one blemished animal was mixed in. Ubechol chad amrinon, and in each offering, when you're throwing in two each time, we say midechavre lav disura, from the fact that the other one was not the problematic one, ihu nami this one as well lav the isura hu vahu the isura ozale bahakrova rishona, and the problematic one, the forbidden one, that's already gone, that went in the first offering, shekorav echad mehem, where the original offering was that one head that was thrown into the fire, that was ascribed to as the forbidden one. Aval echod v'echod lo yakrivu harashim. But if there is some intention of throwing into the fire one at a time after one had already been thrown in, we will not allow singular heads being thrown in subsequently. The b'chol chad, because with regard to each head that's being put into the fire, misafkinon, we raise the doubt. Dilma de isurahu, maybe this is the forbidden one. Deleko lemei marmigu, because when you're throwing in one head each time, I don't have the benefit of saying, since one is definitely not the forbidden, the other one is also not, because it's being thrown in an individual fashion. So the question is raised. Rav indicated that if one ring of the idolatrous rings fell into the sea, so all the rest of the rings are mutter. Which gives one the feeling that you can pull out one by one and each one is mutter. But that leniency is, what is it based on? To say that it's based on Rabbi Eliezer and the ruling regarding the heads of the sacrifices where one Baal Mum had mixed in, we can't go that far with him, because Rabbi Eliezer's heter, Rabbi Eliezer's allowance, was only with regard to putting in two heads each time. Putting them into the fire, that is. Omarle, so the Rav Nachman answers back, Ano nami tarti ko amino. When I said that one, with regard to the heads, the rings that Rav said would be allowed, I said as well, that's only with regard to taking two rings at a time from the pile of rings and selling them. But to take an individual ring each time after one had fallen into the sea, that far even I will not go. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. You see this crown marking. It's explained in the outside margin, Mivneh, under the structural note. Machlokes Rav uShmuel beInyan Sfeik Sfeiko b'Avodah Zarah. We'll see a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, who also appears with a crown marking a number of lines later, a controversy between them regarding what's known as a Sfeik Sfeiko. Sometimes we term that as a double doubt. A double doubt within the realm of idolatry, and Rav represents the lenient of the two opinions. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav, Tabas shel avodas kochavim, shenis arvo b'meo tabois, an idolatrous ring that got mixed up with 100 permissible ones. Upirshu arboim lamokom echad v'shishim lamokom echad, and this group of 100 now got split into 40 and 60. In other words, the 40 rings got mixed up with others, and the 60 rings got mixed up with others. Let's go over that point again. The 40 rings got separated to one spot, and the 60 rings got separated to another spot. As far as subsequent mixing, now is the time to talk about that. This triangle is explained in the outside margin, Shlavim Bahavonas HaMikre. We'll have a couple stages in understanding the case. So the first stage is as follows. Pirsho Achas Me'arboim Eino Oiseres. If one of the 40 got separated from the pile of 40, it does not represent a problem. In other words, it won't aser, it won't ruin a subsequent mixture. Achas mishishim oseres. But if one of the 60 fell into some subsequent mixture of rings, they will be forbidden. The Gemara asks, Maishno achas me'arboim delo, why is it that you say that if one of the 40 falls into another mixture, it doesn't present a problem? Di amrinon, because we say, Isura beruba ise, the forbidden one is where the majority is. Well, achas mishishim nami amrinon, Isura beruba ise, when one of the 60 gets separated, why don't we also say that the forbidden one is left back in the 59 that remain? So why do you say that the one from the 60 that falls into a subsequent pile of rings, they would become forbidden? Elo Ema, rather, we must restate the case that Rav is talking about as follows. And now the Gemara will say what we mistakenly explained earlier. Now is the time to say it. Pirshu Arboim kulam l'mokom echad. If that original group of 100 rings where one Avodah Zorah ring had fallen into them, so now 40 of that pile of 100 falls into a new mixture, ein osros, the 40 do not create a prohibition on the new mixture. However, shishim l'mokom echad, if the 60 fell into another mixture, osros, the 60 that fall into another pile of rings, they will create a prohibition on that pile. Ki amriso kamei d'Shmuel, when this halacha was said over to Shmuel, Omar Lei, Shmuel responded, Hanoch v'avodes kechavim, leave aside the case of Avodah Zarah, Shesfeka Usfeik Sfeka Asura Ad Soif Ha'olam. As opposed to other areas of prohibition, with regard to idolatry, we are to be stringent. and that even multiple levels of doubt will still be viewed as prohibited. And therefore, what Shmuel is saying, even if the 40 fall into another mixture, the 40 will also aser, will also prohibit. Mesve. We have a Tanaic source. And before we go on, let's take a look at the comment we have on the side under the Nosei heading, Birur Shita Shmuel. We're going to clarify Shita Shmuel, Derak Shmuel, who said Derak Bevedazar Minon Sfeik Sfeika Asur Velo Bishari Surim. Shmuel claims that the double suffix is a problem only in the realm of Avodah Zarah and not in other areas of halachic prohibition. She'ela Sagamora, the Gemara will ask, Shmuel di Omar Keman. Shmuel is following whom? Behemshech nireh machlis tanoim binyan sfeik sfeika. In the continuation of the Gemara, we'll see Tanaic controversy regarding sfeik sfeika, double doubts. The afechod nireh shesor v'kishmuel, but none of the tanoim that we'll see in the coming up Gemara will hold like Shmuel. Shmuel represents a type of middle ground, if you will. Shmuel says that in the realm of idolatry, sfeik sfeika, even though something is a very far-fetched, it represents a far-fetched problem, a double level of doubt, nevertheless, in idolatry, we are stringent. In all other areas, we are to be lenient. However, with regard to tanoim that we'll see later, we don't find other tanoim making such a distinction. Meisvei. Gemara raises a question from the following Tanaic source. Sofek avidis kechavim asura, hu sfeik sfeika muteres. Ketzad. Right away, you see a Tanaic opinion unlike Shmuel, and we've highlighted that with the dotted underline. Ketzad. What is an illustration of this rule? Kois shel avidis kechavim, shenofal le'utzer mole koisos. A cup of an idol that fell into a storage area full of cups, kulan asurin. The entire otsar, the entire storage area, is forbidden. Piresh echad mehem l'riboy, umeriboy l'riboy mutarim. If from the otsar, the storage area of cups that had fallen into it, one avodah zarah cup. Now, one cup from that falls into another mixture of 10,000, they are allowed. So that the original single doubt, that was forbidden. However, when something from that collection that we can call an issue of doubt falls into another mixture, that's called a double doubt. And that second mixture is allowed. Anyway, what do we see from here? We see that sfeik sfeika by Avodah Zarah is allowed. That's contrary to Shmuel. The Gemara answers, on behalf of Shmuel, Tanoihi. This issue is a Tanaic controversy. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rimone Badon, Osrin, Bekolshu. Rimone Badon are some type of very significant pomegranate. And if, let us say, you have an Orla, Rimone Badon. It comes from the first 3 years of a tree's growth, the first 3 years of a tree's growth, all the fruit is forbidden to benefit from. So let us say a Rimon falls into a mixture of, into a pile of allowed, of permissible pomegranates. The Rebuta says that without any regard to the number of permissible ones, the singular forbidden one will cause prohibition of the whole mixture. Ketzad, nofal echad mehem l'soich riboy, one forbidden one falls into a group of 10,000, umei ribo l'ribo, and from that 10,000, one falls into a new group of an additional 10,000 permissible ones, asurin. Even the second group of 10,000 is forbidden. Naturally, this is an example of a sfeik sfeika. the Sfeik Sfeiko being that in the first group of 10,000, any one is itself. Maybe this is the forbidden one and maybe not. And in the second group, when one of those falls into the second group and you pull one out, the issue of doubt is maybe this comes from the second group. And even if it came from the first group, maybe the one that fell into it from the first group was not the prohibited one. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishun Rabbi Shimon, Leribo Asurin, the Rimon Badon that falls into a group of 10,000, they are forbidden. That's a singular doubt. However, Umei Riboi Lishloisha, Umishloisha Lemokom Acher, Mutar. If from that first group there falls one into a group of three others, and from there into another group, those are permissible. The Gemara now asks, Shmuel de Omar Keman. Shmuel, who said Sfeik Sfeika is prohibited by idolatry, who does he go like? Whose opinion does he represent? When we say whose opinion, we're asking which Tanaic source backs his opinion up. Ik Rabbi Yehuda, if he is tied into Rabbi Yehuda, well, we saw Rabbi Yehuda represented a strict opinion with regard to Sfeik Sfeika. Well, but Rabbi Yehuda goes further than the original Shmuel, Afilu Bishari Surim Osir. With regard to Rabbi Yehuda, even prohibitions outside of idolatry, Sfeik Sfeika remains a problem. We saw Rabbi Yehuda talk about the fruits, which were Orla, which represented a problem of Orla. E. Rabbi Shimon, Afilu Bavodis Kechavam Nami Shari. And if Shmuel were parallel to Rabbi Shimon, that can't be either. Rabbi Shimon is lenient even within the realm of Avodah Zorah. Well, the Chitemo Shiny the Rabbi Shimon Ben Avodah Zorah L'Shari Surim. You might want to say that Rabbi Shimon, who was lenient, he was lenient only with regard to other areas of prohibition, but not with regard to idolatry. And then Shmuel would conform to Rabbi Shimon. Well, if you want to say that, if you want to say that Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction, Eloha Desanyo, we have another Tanaic source, and it says, Safek Averis Chachovem Asura, Usfek Sfeko Muteres. A singular level of doubt with idolatry is forbidden. A double doubt is allowed. Money. Which Tana would be the author of this? Well, it would be Lo Rabbi Yehuda Velo Rabbi Shimon. It couldn't be Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda forbids Sfeik Sfeika even in lesser areas of severity. And if you want to say that Rabbi Shimon represents Shita Shmuel, that would state that Sfeik Sfeika is forbidden with regard to idolatry. And here we have a Tanaic source saying that it's allowed. You would have an unauthored Tanaic source, and that can't be. Le'olam Rabbi Shimon. This Tanaic source that we just saw that represented a leniency with regard to a double suffix in idolatry, that in fact is Rabbi Shimon. And just like Rabbi Shimon was Makil with regard to the Rimone Badon, he is Makil, he is lenient also with regard to a Sfeik Sfeika in idolatry. And well, what about Shmuel? Shmuel Savar Lo Rabbi Yehuda Bechada. Shmuel accepts Rabbi Yehuda with regard to stringency in Sfeik Sfeika, but only in the realm of idolatry. Upolig Ole Bechada, but he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda with regard to other areas of Isser. We saw Rabbi Yehuda said Sfeik Sfeika is a problem even in other areas of Isser. Shmuel does not go that far. Omar Mar, here we have a quote from the Tanaic source above. In order to see where this quote is coming from, we've provided arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you scan up, you'll find the parallel arrow showing you where this quote comes from. In the source just above, we had these Rimone Badon, one of them, a forbidden Rimon, fell into a group of 10,000, and we said that first group became forbidden, and then one Rimon from that mixture fell into three others. And from those three, one fell into another mixture. Omar Mar, Meribo Lishlosha, Umishlosha Lemokom Achir, Mutar. And we said that in that source, and that quote represents, or which was Rabbi Shimon speaking, represents the shita that sfeik sfeika is mutter. The Gemara asks, as far as the numbers are concerned, when the Rimon fell, when a Rimon fell from the group of 10,000 into another group, the number used was a group of 3. Mein shno shlosha. What is special about the one falling into 3? De'ika ruba. Because when you have one, let's say, doubt falling into 3 permissible ones, so you have a majority majority of that which is allowed. Well, if you want to give a number that represents a majority, why do you have to have it falling into 3? Shnayim nami ikaruba. If the one from the group of 10,000 fell into an additional 2 permissible ones, you still would have had a majority of definite heter. So the Gemara answers, you're right. My gimel dekotani, what is meant by the 3 that is stated in the source? Tarti vahu. It's 2 permissible ones, and this one that just fell in, for a total of 3. V'i boyesemo. Now, this alternative answer is explained by Rashi in 2 lashonos. So, we will be using the first lashon. The first lashon says that this piece of Gemara, when it says sovar law, there's a pronoun. He holds Rebbe Eliezer. He holds like Rebbe Eliezer. The pronoun referred to here is Shmuel, according to the first Lashon in Rashi. If we just flip back to Amud Aleph, the Gemara was grappling with the issue of Shmuel, who said Sfeik Sfeika by idolatry is a problem, but by other Isurim it's not a problem. We were asking Shmuel goes like whom? So the Gemara finally answered that Shmuel goes like Rebbe Yehuda, but only with regard to Avodah Zarah and not with regard to other Isurim. Eboy is saying, but the Gemara here is saying that he, Shmuel, according to the first Lashon of Rashi, goes like Rebbe Eliezer. Well, which Rebbe Eliezer is this? Rashi reveals this to us. So let us look at the Rashi. Second line from the top. V'boy seimo sovarlok Rebbe Eliezer. Shmuel diomar sfeik sfeik out of his chavim osur. Shmuel, who said that a double doubt with regard to idolatry is a problem. Diomar Rebbe Eliezer, he holds like Rebbe Eliezer, b'stam sechas over Zora, who has a teaching in that Maseches Avodah Zarah, and here we have it in a frame so you can see it's a Tanaic source. And in this source, we've circled Rebbe Eliezer's name, and in this particular source, without getting into the details right now, Rebbe Eliezer agrees that you have to reckon with a double suffix in the context of Avodah Zarah. In other words, that a double suffix in Avodah Zarah is in fact a problem. And if you look at the Rashi right after the Tanaic quote, Almo Isle, the Rebbe Eliezer sfeik sfeik but is chavim, you see from this source that Rebbe Eliezer holds that a double suffix in Avodah Zarah is a problem. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Reish Lakish. Before we go further, let's look at the outside margin for our nosei, our topic heading. Mikrim shonim, different cases, be'inyan taruvas chovis yayin shel truma, b'chovios chulin, where a barrel of truma wine gets mixed up with common wine barrels. Yesh litzayin, the chovios stumos eino betelos. Let's just bear in mind, we want to point out that sealed barrels are significant, and they are not voided in a mixture. They're not botel in a mixture. Udrochim shoinim lagil heter. And the topic will deal with different ways to achieve permissibility. So once again, we're dealing with a barrel of truma wine that got mixed up with common type wine, with heter wine. And is there any way that even though a chovis stuma is not botel, is there any way to achieve permissibility? Omar Reish Lakish, Chovis Shel Truma Shinis Arvo B'Meah Chovios. singular barrel of truma wine. Truma wine is wine that's tithed and given to a kohen, and as such, it's forbidden for non-kohanim to benefit from it. And it got mixed up with 100 sealed barrels of chulin wine. V'nofla achas mehem liyam hamelach. And one of these barrels fell into the sea. Hutru kulon. The entire group, or the entire collection of barrels, is now allowed. The Amrinon, as we say, hach de nofal, that one that fell into the sea, the Isura nofal, that was the forbidden one. In other words, a simple mixture is not sufficient for creating bittul. The fact that a truma barrel fell into a majority of allowed ones is not sufficient grounds for saying that the mixture is allowed. However, if in addition to the barrel, the truma barrel falling into the group of 100 mutter barrels, one of those barrels fell into the sea, now we can say the one that fell into the sea, that was the usher one. This approach is just like that which Rav Nachman quoted on Amud Aleph in the name of Rav with regard to the Avodah Zorah rings. So you might ask, what do I need to have two rulings that express essentially the same idea? The Gemara answers or explains the Itzderich Rav Nachman, who spoke about the Avodah Zorah rings, the Itzderich Reish Lakish, who just spoke about the barrels of the wine barrels. The Imid Rav Nachman, had I just had the Rav Nachman ruling, Havi Amina, I would have thought, Hani Mili, when is it that we say something is mutter? Avodas Kechavim, that's with regard to the issue of idolatry, the Ein Lo Matirin, because there is no other way to achieve allowance, to achieve something of a permissible nature. Aval Truma, the Yesh Lo Matirin, with regard to a mixture of Truma in Chulin, there's another avenue, and it's very simply, sell all of them to Kohanim. Sell the mixture to Kohanim. They can benefit from such a mixture. They're allowed to consume straight truma anyway. So since there was another avenue of achieving permissibility, namely selling the mixture to Kohanim, I would have thought that the falling in of one barrel to the sea would not be a reason for allowing the mixture. The E. Mitter Reish Lakish, had I just had his teaching, Havemina Chavis de Minkaran of Filosa, I would have thought that only in the case of a barrel can we be lenient when one falls in, because it's noticeable when it is missing. A barrel being a large item, and even if you have 100 others, nevertheless, its absence is significant. And Rashi adds the main point of understanding. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi Dibar Masul Chavis, a few lines down from here. Rashi says Chavis Gedoyla, a large barrel, Mekoyma Niker Kishii Netula Mechavrosel. Its vacant spot is noticeable. Hilkoch Minkara Nefilasa. Therefore, when it falls, it's obvious that something is lacking here. Umuchamilsa de Bo Talya, and it becomes known or obvious or clear that it's based on its absence that we are basing our lenient ruling. Velo Osi Lamemar, and no one will come to say, Kulu Sharo Belo Nefilas O Echod Liam, that just by virtue of the fact that there was a simple mixture, they are all allowed. People won't make such a mistake, because the missing large barrel is obvious. Continuing in the Gemara, Aval Tabas, Delo Minkaron Afilasa, Lo. But a ring, like was the case with the Avodah Zorah rings, where a singular missing ring is not noticeable, maybe there we won't rule that it's that the mixture is mutter when one falls away, because people will come to think that the simple fact that it got mixed in, that the Avodah Zorah ring got mixed into a majority of mutter ones, that's the reason we're being meka, when that's really not the case. So had I just had Reish Lakish's ruling with regard to the barrels of wine, I would not have known to offer a similar leniency with regard to a ring that fell into the sea. Srifi, therefore, I need to have Rav Nachman present the ruling with regard to the Avodah Zohar ring as well. Omar Rabba, Lohiti Reish Lakish Elo Chovis, the Minkara Nefilasa. Rabba is the first of two opinions on this, on how far Reish Lakish would go. So Rabba says that Reish Lakish, in fact, has his lenient ruling only in the case of a barrel, because of its because its absence is noticeable. Avol te'eino lo. But if you had a situation of a forbidden fig that was mixed in with heter figs, and one of the figs fell away, since a fig's absence is not noticeable, Reish Lakish would not allow the mixture, even if one of the forbidden figs, even if one of the figs had fallen away, we would not say, oh, the one that fell was the forbidden one. For Rav Yosef, from Rafilu Te'eno, Rav Yosef says that Reish Lakish would be lenient with regard to a fig that falls away, falls out of the pile, let's say falls into the sea from the pile that into which one forbidden one had originally fallen. Kenefiloso kach aliyosa, just like a singular fig can ruin the entire pile, so too the absence of one fig has the power of causing the pile to become permissible again. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that which follows is essentially a new idea. Omer Rebbe Lozer, Chovis shel Truma shenofla b'mea chovios, a barrel of Truma wine that got mixed up with 100 barrels of Heter wine. And as we've said before, that in and of itself is not a grounds for bittul. As we've pointed out today and in earlier Gemaras, Chovios Yayin are significant, and therefore they're not botel even if you have 100 times the heter, 100 times permissible ones. So we have a problem mixture right now. The Gemara goes on, Poiseach Echod Mehen, V'notil Heimeno Kedei Dimua V'Shoiseh. We have a little aleph here, because the Gemara will, at a second stage, in a few lines later, you can see a beis preceded by the squiggle underline Elo Emo, where the Gemara presents a new version of what is being said now. But at this point, what is Rebbe Lozer teaching? Well, if you've got this mixture, open one of the barrels, and once a barrel is opened, an open barrel doesn't have the same significance as a sealed barrel. So you open one of them and withdraw 1/100th of this barrel. That's what this expression is. V'notel heimeno kedei dimua. Dimua is an expression that represents a mixture of truma in chulin, and kedei dimua is we say that chulin. Truma is botel, 1/100. So, nevertheless, remove 1/100th of this now open barrel that you opened up, v'shosa, and you are entitled to drink the rest. The Gemara responds to this, Yosef Rav Dimi, V'komar lo l'hashmaitzer. Rav Dimi said over this teaching of Rebbe Lozer, Omer le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman reacted, Goma v'shosi kochazina hacha. Without translating that expression, let's glance immediately at Rashi. Goma v'shosi kochazina hacha. Goma, it literally means to swallow. I see someone swallowing over here. De'im kein de'poiseach l'chadchila. If it were so that you're allowed to open up initially open up one of those barrels, meaning to l'chatchila, after you have a mixture, to go ahead and actively open up one of the barrels, where do you ever have the halacha of sealed barrels are never batel? Where does that ever play a role? If you're allowed to go ahead and open up one of the barrels, so that halacha will never have any real practical bearing. That halacha, we mean sealed barrels are not batel. You'll always be able to open up one and that will solve the problem. And yet, we have the halacha of chavios stumos are not batel. So how do you reconcile this? Therefore, elo ema, rather, niftecha achas mehen, if one of the barrels got opened without intention, then notel heimeno kedei dimo v'shoisa. But to intentionally open up one of the barrels, that would not be allowed. However, if one gets opened unintentionally, then we have this leniency of withdraw from the now open barrel, 1/100th, and drink the rest. The removal of the 1/100th is in light of the fact that we know that amongst all of the barrels over there, 1/100th is truma. So when the one barrel inadvertently gets opened, I withdraw 1/100th. And drink. Omar Rav Hoshaya, Chovos shel Truma shenis arva b'meo v'chamishim chovios. A singular barrel of Truma wine that got mixed up with 150 barrels. V'niftachu meo mehen, and 100 of them became opened. Noitel kedei dimua v'shoise. He removes 1/100th and drinks. Ushar asurin ad shiftechu. The rest remain usur until they get opened. Lo amrinon, we do not say isura baruba ise, that the isur was in the majority. This is now a quote from Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, Haroveya Vahanirba. The Mishnah went on to say, or went on presenting a list of forbidden animals, one of which gets mixed up with acceptable sacrifices. And the Mishnah told us that since we don't know which one is which, so there was a solution presented in the Mishnah, that they shall all be set out to graze until they develop a blemish, and they're then sold, and the money that one fetches from the sale are used to buy a new korban. Specifically, the money fetched from the most expensive of these animals is used to buy the korban. The Gemara now comments on the list over there, Bishlamo kulu lo yadiyah. As far as all of the forbidden animals in the list, one really cannot identify which one was the problem. Therefore, we say we send them all out to graze until they develop blemishes. Elohai trefa hechidomi. The case of trefa, which was in that list, it was found in Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. What is the case of a trefa that got mixed in with others? E yadia le, if it's obvious, if it's noticeable, what caused it to be a trefa. Trefa essentially is a list of 18 different bodily injuries or imperfections that cause it to be labeled a trefa. This includes holes in internal organs or missing parts of critical limbs, even externally. The question here is, what caused the trefa that is being described in the Mishnah, that is described as a situation where I can't identify it. So if it's an identifiable or a noticeable trefa, then leisi v'lishkali, come and remove it from the mixture. Ilo yoda le, if it's one of those kinds of trefas, let us say a hole in the lung, well, mino yoda diarev, then how does he know that a trefa is in this mixture? We now notice a series of triangles, three in number. Let's take a look at the outside margin, where we have a nose, mivne, heading, structural, a topic, heading, and structural note. The triangles represent shlosha hezberim, lomo taruvus behemo trefa, amrinon dieno betela. Why is it that a trefa animal getting mixed into the other sacrifices, do we say that it's not botel? V'lo motziim oisa mitocha tarovus, and why is it that we just don't simply remove the trefa? Klomar, ech litein lahazbir shehi eino nikeres v'noitzi oisa misham. How can we give a hesber to explain that the trefa is not noticeable in order for us to remove it? So we have three hesberim. Let us proceed. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai, hocha b'mayaskinon. What here in our Mishnah? What are we talking about? Kegoin de'arev nekuvas hakoitz bedrusas hazeev. Nekuvas hakoitz is a piercing of the skin by a thorn. With the skin being pierced by a thorn, that does not create trefus. And as such, it's the animal is kosher. So let us say you had a group of sacrifices that experienced nekuvas hakoitz. And one of them was Drusus Hazev. Drusus Hazev is a situation where an animal, a sheep or a cow, is clawed by a goat, by a wolf. Let's take a specific example. A sheep is clawed by a wolf. The claws of the wolf secrete some type of venomous substance that, even though the claw itself, the nail, doesn't penetrate into the interior of the animal, the venom that's secreted burns away and eventually does create a hole in internal organs. So these two creatures, as you see them, they both look the same. I happen to know that one of them was attacked by a wolf, but I can't distinguish it from all the others that are nekuvas hakoitz. So that is the case that the Mishnah is describing, where I do know there is a trefa, but I can't identify which one is the trefa. Reish Lakish amar kigon di'ariv b'nefula. Nefula is an animal that fell, and it fell from a roof. And as such, if it fell, when it fell, it couldn't stand up. That creates a situation that of what we call a suffix trefa. Maybe it sustained an injury that created trefus. And if I were to shecht such an animal immediately after it fell, I would not be allowed to eat it. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's just glance at the Rashi Nefula. Rashi we're looking at is four lines under the Gemara. Nefula min hagag ve'eno yechol lamud, an animal that fell off a roof and it can't stand up. Sofek trefa hi, it's an issue of a doubtful trefa. Ve'imshachta kodim sheshos meis leis, if you slaughtered it before 24 hours passed, trefa, it's classified as a trefa mishum risuke evorim, because of its jolted limbs, jolted or shattered limbs. the afilu bodka velo motzba nekuvas reo meayim velo psukas chut hashedra v'shum simen treifus. Even if I open up this animal that fell off the roof before 24 hours lapse, and I did not find severed or pierced critical organs, the animal is still forbidden to be eaten based on this concept of risuke varam, jolted limbs. V'im shas meisleis v'shachta tzricha bdika mikol simani treifus. If it survived 24 hours, I would then check it out for other signs of treifus. The kevon dis chazik bo sofik treifus ein machnisin osol azor l'shachato mishum hakuvein olav chasecha. And since it experienced, since you have an animal that fell off a roof, you would not bring it into the azora and dedicate it as a sacrifice, because one offers only things that are fulfillment of hakriveu nolde for chasecha, which is a pasuk stating that you offer to God only that which you would offer to an important official. So we now turn back to the Gemara. Reish Lakish Omar, the case of the treifus that I know is there but I can't identify it, kagon de'arev b'nefula, the kosher sacrifices, they got mixed into it a nefula. So the Gemara asks, nefula nami livdika. Well, even if you have an animal that fell off a roof, you can check it out by making sure it stands. So kosovar omda, Reish Lakish holds, even if the animal stands still, it doesn't leave the realm of Safek Trefa. Sricha mi eis leis, you need an additional 24 hours for it to continue surviving. Holcha, this is another element or another halacha concerning a nefula. If you have a nefula that not only stood up but was able to walk, Sricha bedika, it needs even though it did walk, it still needs a careful checking of its internal organs to assure that it none have been pierced or severed. So as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, if you ask a question concerning how do you have a situation of a treifa that got mixed in and to kosher sacrifices, where on the one hand I know there's a treifa, on the other hand I can't identify it, the answer Reish Lakish would tell you, it's talking about a case where an animal that fell off a roof got mixed in with the rest of the animals, and even though it may have stood up, still within as far as immediate needs are concerned, that it stood up is not sufficient to say that there is no longer a problem. Because even in the case of Omda, it would have to survive another 24 hours. And so certainly within the 24 hours, all of the animals are considered, are ruled to be unfit for bringing as korbanos. Rabbi Yirmiya Omar, kigon di arev bivlad treif of Rabbi Lezerhi. What happens? What's our Mishnah talking about? A case where the offspring of a treifa got mixed in with the kosher sacrifices, and as such. It itself doesn't have any inherent lacking. Its only problem is that its mother was a treifa. And according to Rabbi Lezer, a vlad treifa is something that's unfit to be offered on the altar. As the Gemara says, the Omar, vlad treifa lo yukrav legabi mizbeach. So that according to Rabbi Yirmiya, our Mishnah represents a singular or minority opinion, a singular opinion, that of Rebbe Eliezer, that the creature that got mixed in with the rest of the kosher sacrifices was a vlad treifa, and therefore one cannot offer any of them, and they are set out to graze till they develop a blemish, as the Mishnah taught. The Gemara now goes over each one of these opinions through the eyes of the other two, and explains why the other two didn't say like the third. Kulhu k'Rabbi Yanai lo amri. The Kulhu here is a reference to Reish Lakish, who was number 2, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu, who was number 3. They did not explain like Rabbi Yanai, because bein nekuvas hakoitz l'drusus hazeiv meida yadia. They feel that if the whole problem is that all of the sacrifices have been nekuvas hakoitz, and there was a singular drusus hazeiv there, that you can identify hai moshich v'hai ogil. The drusus hazeiv, the animal that was attacked by a wolf, the bruise or the injury is elongated, as opposed to an animal whose skin layer was pierced by a thorn, that would be circular. So that would be grounds for making a distinction, and therefore the Mishnah wouldn't be talking about a case like that, because under such circumstances you would be able to spot the elongated injury and withdraw that from the mixture, and the rest could be offered, and that's not what the Mishnah was talking about. Kareish Lakish Lo Amri, specifically Rabbi Yanai, Debe Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yirmiyah do not explain like Reish Lakish. Kos Safri, they hold Omda Eino Tzricha Me'es L'Es. If a Nefula stands up, then it's fine. You don't have to wait an additional 24 hours. Holcha, they're also lenient with regard to the Nefula walking. They hold Eino Tzricha Bedika. If you have an animal that fell off a roof and it starts to walk, it's fine. It doesn't require any further checking out. Therefore, as far as they are concerned, if a nefula had fallen into a group of animals of kosher sacrifices, and I see that they're all standing, so I know that there is no problem. And yet the Mishnah describes a case where there is a trefa that fell in that does create a problem, as witnessed by the fact that the Mishnah says they must all be set out to graze and till they develop a blemish, and none of them can be offered on the altar. K'Rabbi Yirmiyahu lo amri. Once again, who is this referring to? Rabbi Yanai and Reish Lakish. They do not say like Rabbi Yirmiyahu. K'Rabbi Elazar lo mukmi. They don't want to set up the Mishnah like a minority or individual opinion, as did Rabbi Yirmiyahu claim. The next piece of Gemara will deal with different kinds of sacrifices, both all of a kotche kotchim nature, kotche bekotchim, that get mixed up, min bemino, and what about the issue of smicha? So this will be the topic of our next shiur. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.